National media continues to exaggerate and promote misleading negative headlines designed to diminish the rule of law and those whose job it is to enforce it. Remember, the only people who want to defund the police and dismantle these agencies are the criminals. And don't forget to thank a cop. Now, let's start the show. Today is Veterans Day, and all of us at Law Matters wants to thank every veteran ever. Without you and everything you do and have done, we would not be the free country we are today. Thank you from all of us. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Our guests today are Hal. He's going to give us an update. And we have two amazing veterans sitting in the studio. Hal's a veteran, too. Hal was in the Marine Corps. Good morning, Hal.
Yeah. Well, morning, Sherry. Yes, very much so. Retired Marine. Yep.
Well, happy day after your birthday.
Well, that's the most important thing. Birthday, 248 years. All right. Although most say I only look 239. But, yeah. And of course, we're the only military service I'm aware of that was actually founded in a tavern. So we're very proud of that as well. And,
keep it going.
It was funny. The Air Force, did a test flight of the B-21 Raider, yesterday. And I was asked, I said, was the Air Force trolling the Marine Corps? And, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I said, I think they were just saluting us by flying it on that day. But it was kind of interesting to see that. Should we talk about what's going on in Gaza?
Yeah, give us an update. What's happening?
All right. Well, a lot's happened over the last week. Israel moved in. They surrounded, they basically cordoned off that northern sector. And part of that Gaza City, the biggest city in Gaza. And they've been moved. They literally went downtown. They've moved into the city. And they have set up military positions around a number of the hospitals. The hospitals are kind of interesting. Under the Geneva Convention, hospitals, mosques, schools are normally protected sites. However, Hamas is a terrorist organization. They don't follow the rules of law. And they have put their command bunkers, ammunition sites, firing positions, all sorts of stuff. It's almost like they went down the Geneva Convention protected site list and put everything in there. So according to the IDF, Hamas has a major command bunker built underneath the Al-Shifa Hospital, which is really, I think it's the biggest hospital in Gaza City.
Wow.
And this has caused massive international issues. It's tough for Israel to win the information war on this. And with that, there's now a major summit that's in Saudi Arabia that's got a number of leaders of Arab nations in the region that came in there. And interestingly, the president of Iran went over to Riyadh and actually met with MBS, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, which is very interesting because everybody's been looking at Iran this whole time and obviously wondering, was Tehran behind this whole thing? Did they orchestrate this the October 7th attack to begin with and create this crisis? So I don't know how it's going. Last night there was major fighting downtown, flares, lots of indirect fire weapons coming in, lots of ground fighting. And I think what Israel's trying to do is push as hard as they can to secure that northern sector, because the pressure on the United States and from around the world to implement a three-day ceasefire is becoming rather deafening. In fact, Anthony Blinken yesterday really changed the tone of the U.S. position. We have not been calling for a ceasefire. And although we did call for these pauses, and Israel has implemented these pauses, these humanitarian pauses throughout the day, about 4 hours each, that could get extended beyond that. But President Macron has called for a three-day ceasefire, and we have turned around and said, too many Palestinians have been killed, which is basically an admonition saying that Israel needs to start curtailing some of its operations because of the collateral damage that's going on.
Yeah, and I think people need to understand that while Hamas are Palestinians, not all Palestinians are Hamas. And there's a lot of innocent people being killed.
That's a big distinction. We've been saying that all along. And actually, there was I heard a very eloquent explanation from an Israeli spokesman who basically was reminding people, look, this war didn't, you know, Israel didn't start this war, which seems to have been lost with the a lot of the major populations, if you will, major areas within the Arab world, even within Europe. October 7th was Hamas starting a war. All right. Now, it's the Middle East. If you go back far enough, everybody's, you know, it's like, well, what about 73? What about 67? What about 48? You know,
right.
You know, what about 70? Those darn Romans, I'll tell you. And, everybody can take it back, you know. So there's this never ends. But with that, this particular war we see now, that was October 7th. Interestingly, and you know, we've talked about the numbers, and it's like, you know, people are going to start saying, Hal, you just seem to focus on the numbers. Well, I'm an intelligence officer. Battle damage assessment has always been a big part of what we do. And you're always trying to figure out what the situation is. But the numbers coming out of the number of Palestinians killed and injured have always seemed kind of high. And there have been instances where Hamas clearly exaggerated them. And the Gaza Ministry of Health is actually a Hamas organization. And in one case, they exaggerated them by at least 5, maybe 10 times with a particular strike. With that said, there was a story yesterday that it's unofficial that members of the U.S. intelligence community are coming closer to saying the Hamas numbers might be fairly accurate, which I found was stunning because we've said the exact opposite. President Biden himself had said those numbers are highly inaccurate, and I just found that rather interesting. I don't know where that's going, and I don't know if that's setting a stage where we start using the numbers. The United Nations takes those numbers, you know, they just take them and run with them. And that's been a very big frustration with Israel. We've been frustrated with that too. But now we seem to be revising our numbers of the number of Palestinians. Obviously, we're going to take this higher number, if you will. And I think that will have a direct correlation on U.S. policy going forward. And it deals with international law too. Even though every specific attack or strike, if you will, so far, I haven't seen anything that violates international law. The issue of proportionality in total is being questioned as to whether Israel's overall prosecution of this war may be taking too many casualties or killing too many civilians and how it's happening. And I don't know any other way that they can do what they're doing to take out Hamas, but that's part of the discourse on the international stage.
Well, it's really sad all this is going on. And I, you know, a lot of us are sitting back going, why are you attacking these people just because of their religion? Well, you know, it makes no sense. But I'm sure there's individual stories, like you said, those darn Romans. So people are holding grudges for a long, long time.
So, well,
yeah, are you going to be in a parade today? Let's talk about something happy. Are you going to be in a parade today?
Not being a parade, but we have a few things we're going to be doing today, and we're kind of busy. And believe it or not, I actually have some work I have to do for a client today. Kind of interesting. So
it's Veterans Day.
It's just one of those things, you know. And it's busy, and I have a feeling with the way things are going over there, I wouldn't be surprised if my face might appear on a television interview this afternoon or something. Although, although you know, you've agreed with me. I truly do have a face for radio. So anyway.
You've been on. Let's name some of these places. You've been on Fox News Live.
Fox Live Now, London. Which interestingly, they actually have two broadcast studios, and the Western one, this is a streaming news service for Fox, is out of Phoenix. So so this whole thing with the I'm in LA, as you know, and trying to work out the daylight savings time thing, because California goes daylight savings time, Arizona doesn't. So I've had a whole week to get warmed up for this interview this morning to make sure I had the right time. And
and you're on News Nation too, isn't it?
News Nation. Yeah. And then also just recently Scripps News has had me on a couple times. And
Dan Abram
called Dan Abram on News Nation's had me on, done a few Inside Edition episodes or segments, I should say, which is kind of interesting because they'll do some hard news, and then of course Inside Edition does a lot of entertainment news too. So it's
I was
going to
say, what are you doing on there?
Well, I'm trying to link the war in Ukraine, the war in the Middle East, to the ongoing relationship with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
They started it. I know they did. Well, okay. You go to work and enjoy what parts of the day you can
enjoy. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming on, Hal.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Appreciate it. Okay. In the studio, I think everybody knows every year we hold a contest. Law Matters holds a contest. And we want you to nominate your favorite veteran for a day of recognition. And Melvin, better known as Butch Morgan, nominated Juan, better known as Sarge Rodriguez. And the committee who reads through these and decides who the winner is decided that Sarge needed a day of recognition. So they're in the studio here. I couldn't be more honored to have you guys here. You both have an incredible military background. And Sarge, let's start with you. Why did you nominate?
I nominated Sarge because ever since I joined the chapter several years ago, excuse me, Sarge had been kind of a mentor to me in a way. And Sarge, over the years, have ran NAMJAM for 5 years until he gave it up and I took that part over. He's also been Toastmaster several units, six or seven, I think, I can't remember. And he's also the head of the Toastmaster Veterans Organization. He's ran bingo at the VA. It's building 60 for several years until this past epidemic of COVID. And root beer floats at the VA. So I thought
it was
time.
Wait a minute, root beer floats? What's that?
That is where the organization buys the root beer and the ice cream and sell it for $1 a donation. And that money goes to the patient's fund.
Why wasn't I invited? Root beer floats? We called them black cows.
Well, back in Missouri, they do that too.
Yeah, see? You know. Okay. And did you say bingo?
Bingo. They
you called
the third Thursday of each month, and we'd hold bingo with the patients at Building 60 on Thursday night for an hour and pass out money to those patients that win bingo. It's entertainment for them.
You're talking about at the VA hospital?
The VA hospital.
Okay. All right. When you said Building 60, I put it together.
Yeah.
My mother used the VA hospital here. Yeah. Good group of people.
And I thought it was about time he's been honored for something. He's done it.
He's done a lot. So, Sarge, tell me a little bit about don't read these six pages, please, but tell me a little bit about your military history.
Great. Well, first off, I'd like to thank Bush from the bottom of my heart. I'm really kind of a modest guy. You know, The old saying is, we shall be known by our deeds alone. And I don't need much recognition. Hey, the job got done. Mission is accomplished. Keep on trucking. But Bush, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I felt so honored yesterday and respected. I finally felt welcome home. Finally hit. Yeah. It finally hit. See now the old Vietnam veterans out there doing, even though we got walkers, oxygen tanks, canes, wheelchairs.
You have to watch out for the ones with the canes, let me tell you. Getting their way, whack.
It was astounding, and I really felt honored and very welcome. My military career actually started when I was 16 years old when I joined the Army National Guard. This is in California. I joined the Army National Guard because I always admired my cousins. Sadly, they fought in the Korean War. And when they came back from Korea, I loved and fell in love with their uniforms, the old khakis. They were Army, and I wanted to be just like them. Well, at 16, you can't join anything, so what did I do? I went to the National Guard outfit, got the paperwork, and I forged my mother's name.
Ooh,
They didn't check things back in those days, so I just went ahead and joined the National Guard. So I was in the National Guard from 1955 to 1956, at which time I turned 17, and I joined the Army. Of course, I still needed my mother's signature, but that was no problem then. So 1956 to 1977 was my entire career in the military, serving in Europe for a total of about 9 years, tour in Vietnam, tour in Korea, and sometime in the States. I definitely enjoyed my military career, and they always asked me, would you do it again? I said, yes, I would. Some things might be a little more differently, but I tell you what, I enjoyed it. I retired finally after 22 years in 1977 because, number one, I had children that needed a father at home. That's one thing about the military. You do spend time away from your kids.
Yeah.
Moms are left kind of holding the bags, trying to keep them together. It becomes difficult. So when I was in Korea, my wife sent me a letter saying, hey, dude, you got to get your butt home. These kids are teenagers now. They're getting too much to handle.
Don't reenlist.
And I said, okay, she's got it. I was in the consideration zone for Sergeant Major E9, and I said, well, I had to weigh the difference to go on with my career or family. I chose family. They're more important. I've always felt that kind of a letdown because can you imagine being a Command Sergeant Major E9? That's top of the line up there. But you know what? As a First Sergeant, that's the better job. You wear that diamond in the middle, and you know what? Diamonds are forever.
That's right.
That's the old First Sergeant there. Other than that, my career was great. When I retired, I got out, went to school under the GI Bill, got my degree, worked for a company called Con Instruments, scientific outfit, and traveled throughout the United States working for them. I became a regional sales manager, and this is how I wound up here in Tucson. I had a home in Whittier, California, and every time I come out here back in the early 80s, that's a long time ago, this town was so laid back. I could not believe it compared to the zoo in Los Angeles. And I was so enamored with Tucson. We used to call it the one-horse town. So I don't care. It's great here. Easy living. I mean, nobody was rushing, no pressure.
It's not
Prices
Chicago.
Are very reasonable. So I talked to the wife, and the wife came out here, and she fell in love with Tucson also. So in 1983, we sold the house in Whittier, moved out here in the east side of town, and been here for 40 years now.
Wow.
And one of my kids attended school here. I graduated from Santa Rita or somewhere like that. And other than that, I started my own business called Atkemco Scientific, which is just around the corner here from The Voice. That was interesting because when he told me what the location was, I said, wow, that sounds familiar. And here we are. That kind of condenses my career in the military and a little bit of background. Back to you.
Just back to you. 10-4. Okay. Yesterday you were a part of the parade. You were the Grand Marshal. How did that feel, being driven in the parade, and especially that car? And I'm going to have to put a photo of the car and Sarge on our website. It's not there yet, but we're going to get it on our website. It was pretty spectacular. How did that make you feel?
Oh, I felt awesome. I mean, feeling honored being the Grand Marshal of a parade here, that's something that never even entered my mind. And once again, I want to thank Bush and bottom of my heart for appreciating what I have done over the years, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, the expression is, don't make your life an intermission, make your life a mission. That's always been critical to me.
I like that.
And the key thing here is you just keep on going. You know, I'm 85 years old now. And a lot of say, man, you don't act like 85. You act like you're maybe 70. I said, I wish I was. Tell that to my body. So, because one thing I do every morning when I get out of bed and I walk toward the bathroom, I will always turn around, look at the bed to make sure I'm still lying there. So that's one of the key things about taking it one day at a time. But honored, yes, I was. Yesterday's parade was tremendous. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I felt very welcome. And for the first time, I felt the words welcome home really hit home.
Yeah, welcome home. And that's something we talked about it yesterday. It was rough for a lot of people, especially our Vietnam vets coming home and being treated the way they were treated was appalling. And I come from a military family. And it just, you know, it was something that should have never happened. And welcome home and thank them for everything they've done. Butch, did you serve in Vietnam?
65 to 66, Vietnam.
And when you came home, where'd you go? Were you in California?
I went to Paris Island and became a base dog catcher.
You became a base dog catcher?
Well, basically, I was head of the motor transport section of the guard.
Okay.
But okay. Part of my job was base dog catcher. And the biggest job taken care of was finding the base general's dog out constantly until I find out how he was getting out.
So how was he getting out?
He found under a bush. He dug a hole and dug out from underneath the fence.
So you had to fix it?
No, the base maintenance took care of that portion of it.
Okay. But you did your job. Dog
catching. About every other day.
About every other day. It's pretty funny. Where were you living at the time?
Paris Island.
So when you came home.
When I came home, I went back to the farm.
And the farm is located?
Carthage, Missouri.
Okay. That's what I was trying to
get. Yeah, that's where I was trying to get it. Yeah, my dad owned a feed store there, Farmers Feeds and Supply, for many years. And he wanted to put in a hog parlor. Well, he already had a hog parlor set up, but he wanted me to run a 300-head sow farrowing house. So that's basically what we did for a few years until he got where the authorized where he couldn't handle things. He started selling things off. I said, you're selling that part off? Sell it all off.
Sell everything. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about some of the programs that we have available for our veterans. And you, Sarge, you and I had a conversation yesterday about Agent Orange and about some of the things that are going on. I want you to tell our listeners so that they know there are resources out there. Tell them what's going on and how they can find these resources if they need them.
First off, thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to do this, because veterans out there, listen up. Did you know the PAC Act was signed in August of 2022? Many veterans don't even know what the PAC Act is. Number one is it's time. If you served during the Gulf period time and also Vietnam Veterans Agent Orange, it's time to check in at the VA. Particularly if you are suffering from any kind of illnesses, cancers, ischemic heart disease, any kind of ailments that could cause harm to you, even your death. Guys, listen up. Women, listen up. Get to the VA hospital and get yourself checked out. The PAC Act extends the eligibility for VA health care for veterans with toxic exposures and veterans of Vietnam era, Gulf War era, and post 9/11 era. It also expands eligibility for benefits to veterans exposed to toxic substance. So what does this act do? It expands and extends eligibility for VA health care for veterans with toxic exposures and veterans of the Vietnam era, Gulf War era, and again, 9/11 era. The VA has improved the decision-making process for determining what medical conditions would be considered for preemptive status. In other words, if something is wrong with you. Every enrolled veteran will receive an initial toxic exposure screening and a follow-up screening every 5 years. Veterans who are not enrolled but who are eligible to enroll will have the opportunity to enroll and receive the screening of UGA Healthcare by the staff and claims process that receive toxic exposure-related education and training. Now, if you come down with any kind of kidney cancer, lymphomas, neck cancer, pancreatic cancer, and a whole list of items, brain cancer, my gosh, get to the VA. Even if you have high blood pressure, hypertension, which just came on board for Vietnam veterans. Veterans who have served in the following locations and time periods can enroll into the VA healthcare. Now, this you can find online on Agent Orange. Just type in Agent Orange, Vietnam, Agent Orange, and all of this information will pop out. If you served in the Republic of Vietnam between January 9, 1962 to May of 1975, you're eligible, dude. Boots on the ground. Thailand, of any U.S. or Royal Thai base between January 62 to June of 76. Laos, between December 65 and September 1969. Even certain portions of Cambodia, 69 and 69. Guam, or American Samoa, or the territorial waters. It goes on and on and on. It's up to you. The benefits are available. Don't sit back and say, they won't approve it. You never know. Guys, you're allowed. As a veteran, you get out there. You deserve these benefits, no matter what. Get out there and do your thing. Tell your family about this. Because I tell you, with the VA, they do a grand job. Many people may be dissatisfied with it. But I tell you what, 98% of veterans love the VA. I, for one, am one of them. So don't give up. Don't give up the fight. You got to, just like the government, you get denied the first time, you go back and fight, fight, and fight. You know, it took me 10 years to get 100%. 10 years! Kept fighting, they come back denied. I fight it again, come back denied. You never give up. The minute you give up, guess what? You're dead. You may as well fold the old pup tent and walk away. So once again, Vietnam-era veterans, you need to be on board. New Agent Orange presumptive conditions, hypertension. Hypertension. If you've been diagnosed with hypertension, get out there to the VA, get yourself checked out, and get those dang benefits. Back to you.
Very cool. I just really wanted, that's great information. I just really wanted you to get it out there because there are so many people out there who don't realize what the PACT Act has done for them, and they need to go get your benefits. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few. LawMatters1030.org is a nonprofit that needs your support in El Torde, Tucson, either by riding a bike or walking in the 5K. To support us while we support law enforcement, please go to LawMatters1030.org support page to sign up. We'll see you there.
This is Deputy Chuk with Pima County Search and Rescue, reminding you that infants and toddlers do not experience heat as adults do. Consider this when bringing your young ones on a hike in temperatures of over 80 degrees. You do not want to risk that child having heat stroke or being arrested for child endangerment. If you're thinking of a trek through nature, plan ahead, look ahead, and use your head. Your future depends on it. Save your phone's battery life so when you get lost, we may contact you. Wearing bright colors that can be seen from a distance helps the effort.
As the FBI and its partners encourage Americans to take proactive steps to enhance their cybersecurity during National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, an FBI program aimed at preparing students for careers in cybersecurity expands. The FBI CyberSTEM program is designed for high school students with an interest in cybersecurity and science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or STEM. Heather Schuck of the FBI's Pittsburgh Field Office says the program was born in 2015 out of concerns over a future gap in qualified cybersecurity professionals.
We realized that the Pittsburgh AOR had developed into a technology hub, but we were having challenges hiring cyber-trained folks.
FBI Pittsburgh teamed up with the University of Pittsburgh so its curriculum could be modified for high school students.
The FBI participates in providing touch points to high school students to give them background on real FBI cases.
The program is currently offered in Pittsburgh, Miami, and Washington, D.C. field offices, and efforts to roll it out to other offices are underway. With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
LawMatters1030.org is a nonprofit that needs your support in El Turde, Tucson, either by riding a bike or walking in the 5K. To support us while we support law enforcement, please go to LawMatters1030.org support page to sign up. We'll see you there. Thanks for staying with us. I want to remind everybody that next weekend is El Turde, Tucson. It's a huge event. It happens only once a year. Please, if you aren't in the race, do yourself a favor and get your errands completed before Saturday, or maybe push them off to Sunday so you aren't stuck in traffic. They raise millions of dollars for our community, and it's only one day a year that we can give these bikers the road. Watch for them. Appreciate what they're doing for us. And everyone, please stay safe. Now, back to Sarge and Butch. I want to talk about NAMM Jam. We were talking about it just before the show, and it's been something that's been happening here for how many years? 35. And
not consecutive, but 35 total.
And we need, you know, you told me it was the last one. This last NAMM Jam
was
a couple of weeks ago. Was the last one. They're looking for somebody to take over this event. It takes a lot of work, and tell me about it. Tell me what you've done and what people, our listeners, can do to help.
Over the years, as I've been part of the organization, of the chapter, and NAMM Jam, it is a fundraiser to help veterans within the Tucson and Pima County area. The funds we make from that go to helping them.
In what way?
Like a payment of a house payment, a rent, or a phone bill, or a
whatever
car repayment, whatever they need. They get a hold of us, and with a DD-214 and a bill from whoever they need to be paid, that's how we pay that bill. We don't pay the person. We pay the people they owe.
Right.
And that fund comes from NAMM Jam. Due to our age and the lack of help in the last 2 years, it has took the toll on about seven people that's put this thing together. It takes a year to plan this. From as soon as we finish up one, which is, we got to wrap up the 35th one, we always start planning the next one. Well, the chapter and the members and the board said we cannot do this no longer because we aren't able to. That we're getting to the age that we can't sit down and do all this planning and putting it together because it takes a lot of work. And an organization that was going to take over from us folded before they even got started. So we are looking for an organization out there, a veterans organization or organization that's willing to put this on. Yes, we'll put up a 10 by 10 tent and show our face, but we won't get involved in how to put it together and how to run it. We will give some advice to them as to how to run it and what it was all about. Because it is a collection. NAMM Jam was a collection of every veterans organization in town and food vendors and other vendors type of sales things that come in and get camaraderie. It was camaraderie.
Okay, we have a caller on the phone. Chuck, what's on your mind?
Hey, yes, thank you. Sorry, I tuned in a little late, and I was hearing the information about veteran services and signing up. I wanted to add, I was drafted in the Vietnam era, but I stayed at Camp Lejeune. I never went over to Vietnam. But they have a water issue there for about a 12-year span. Any veteran that was stationed for at least 30 days in Camp Lejeune is eligible for services because of health issues. I know it's really impacted me, and just wanted to help others be aware of it.
Yeah, and I've seen a few ads on that. Can they go to the VA hospital and talk about that too? Is that
one? Yeah, you can go to your
Okay. I wasn't aware of that. I'm familiar with Agent Orange. I had a friend that passed away from that, but I wasn't aware of the water. My mom was stationed at Camp Lejeune. Of course, that was World War II.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was the era. I know there's a it's way past the Vietnam era. I'm not sure when they start to recognize it. But people who were stationed there, for me, I developed a hiatal hernia, which is swelling above the stomach. And then I had a bleed out in the esophagus because it got torn. And I bled out internally. I actually had a near-death experience. And so all of that would have been from that water issue. Yes. I don't drink tap water.
There you go. I don't blame you. Well, thank you for bringing that up. I completely forgot about that. But yes, people who think they who were stationed at Camp Lejeune should be checked out at the VA. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, okay, Chuck, for bringing that up. And if anybody else has a comment or, you know, stuff we need to know, the number is 520-790-2040. Let us know what's going on, and we'll pass it along. I want to talk more about this NAMJAM. I know that it takes a lot to put on events. It takes a lot of work. And usually all the work lands on, like, two or three people. You have 20 volunteers, and two or three people are doing everything. But it's something that's really important. And we were talking about this yesterday, too. Maybe it's something that they want to change to a different name. But the support, the whole theme of the thing, the mission, is to support the veterans when they need a hand.
Right. That's correct. When I became president of the chapter, and I'm also a part of the Desert Shield and Desert Storm era, I was still in the service at the time with the Air National Guard out of St. Joe, Missouri. And I started calling it NAM to SAN Jam to include the younger veterans and trying to get them on board to fight for their rights. Every right that the veterans have today in the VA has been brought on by the Vietnam veterans. They have fought for the Agent Orange. They have fought for every right that the veterans are getting today. And we need the younger generation to take up our fight to keep it going. Otherwise, they are eventually going to lose their veterans' rights.
So if there's anybody out there, how can they get in touch with you at your chapter? Tell them you're the president of what?
I'm the president of the Vietnam chapter 106 here in Tucson, and have been for the last 6 years. I'm also set on several of the boards here in town. I've belonged to the Tucson Veterans Council Board. And was on the council, what I call Triple E, because I can't ever pronounce that long name, out there, which...
Esperanza Escalante.
Thank you. My understanding is, years ago, the chapter got that land for veterans' homes to be built and to work through the VA on that. So the organization has done a lot for this town and for a lot for the veterans over the years. NAMJAM is just one of the things. Like I said, we call it NAM to Sand Jam, but we still hold NAMJAM.
Yeah. I also like to add that our chapter, we started back in 1983-84, it was incorporated. We currently have 240 members. Is that correct, Butch?
248.
248 members. Sadly, out of 248 members, we only get at our meetings 15 to 20 to show up. But
actually,
I understand
that's
why.
That's pretty good.
That is. Sometimes maybe only 8 show up, but normally. But I understand why. Health issues, you know. Also, driving at night
driving at night
a problem that I seem to be, in my case, too, sometimes going, well, am I comfortable driving at night? But Bush has done a tremendous job. We jumped from 150 members, now it's 240 plus. He's also the membership director. NAMJAM was, to us, started back in 1986 by a couple of guys who just wanted to get together and strum on their guitars and maybe tell some war stories. It took off from there, and it started happening every year at Reed Park. It became bigger, bigger, and bigger. I think the biggest one when I became involved was in the year 2000, when they had a gigantic, at Reed Park, NAMJAM. I mean, that place was just wall-to-wall people, military displays, and that got me enthused about getting involved. And that's when I threw my hat in. But NAMJAM has been like a legacy people talk about, when you having your next NAMM jam, man? I say, well, maybe we'll see. We'll see. You have to keep that attitude. So I'm appealing to all these younger people. I understand you've got family to raise. You got a job to go to. You don't have time for it. That kind of a thing. But I tell you what, this is going to be your legacy. Who are you going to pass this on to? We're old, we're tired now, the Vietnam vets. A lot of them are in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s. It's going to be up to the younger generation of veterans to get in there, the VFW, the American Legion, Disabled American Veterans, and vets. It's you guys who have to carry the ball forward. So I'm appealing to you guys. Get out there. Contact us at VVA.org. VVA106?
VVA106.org.
.org. Just go online. Give us your comments. It's a portion there for messages. It would help us to understand what the feeling is out there in the community. Are you ready to get involved yourself? How else? I don't see many other veterans coming here on the radio talking about things that you can do for other veterans. I'm sure there's been some. But we appeal to you, the younger generation. Like Bush said, we just changed NAMM Jam to NAMM to SAN Jam to include the younger generation. That was the important thing. Get them involved. A few of them are. They get involved. But sadly, not very many. I've been to the Vet Center. A lot of them go there for a support group. And we'll see what happens.
So the website is VictorVictorAlpha106.org.
.org. Correct.
It's a nonprofit. And somebody out there has to be listening who's willing to, you know, round up some people from all these different organizations. It doesn't have to be just one organization. Round them up and say, hey, let's put this together and assign jobs. I'm sure Butch would be happy to mentor people through the process because you've got a lot of experience and you know what the pitfalls are and what not to do. And we want to thank Lizette, too, because she put on that parade. She's been putting on the parade princess. Is that what they call her?
Yes.
The parade princess, and she's been doing it for 12 years now, and she can do it in her sleep. Just, you know, has it together, but it takes a lot of doing it to work out the kinks. And since you've already worked out the kinks, anybody listening who wants to go to the VVA106.org, throw your hat in the ring and say, hey, let's keep this going. And they said they didn't even care if you changed the name to Sand Jam. So why not? Mm-hmm. Let's keep it going. Help our veterans. Right?
That's correct. Right. That's the only way to go.
Okay. There was another thing you were talking about yesterday. Was it Agent Orange?
Agent Orange and the PAC Act, yes.
Okay.
That was it.
I just don't want to skip anything. Because that would not be good. So tell me a little bit about how did you balance military life, because you were in for a long time, and home life? How was that? How did that work out for you?
It worked out quite well, I believe, because being young is one thing. You have all that energy and, you know, growing a family. As I mentioned, I spent 9 years in Europe, and of course, my family was with me. So that,
that
really
is nice. Where in Europe?
Well, all over Germany, matter of fact. At that time, was West Germany, because at that time, the wall was up. But I started off my career in Germany in Mainz-Gansenheim. I was 2nd Armored Division. I was an old tanker there. Came back to Fort Bliss, Texas, re-enlisted, got into air defense artillery, then got sent back to Germany again, and that time was Spangdahlem-Bitburg area. Came back to the States, stationed once again at Fort Bliss, and then got shipped again back to Germany. And that time was a place called Schwabach, Firth, Nuremberg area. But all the time, my family was with me, so it wasn't that difficult.
Although
we just spent a lot of time in the field. That was 20, 25 days at a time, but it still worked out.
When the wall came down in 1989, when you saw that news, what did you think?
I said, finally, thank God. Thank goodness. Germany, for the first time, can be reunited again to become one country. Yeah. I would like to go back to Germany to see that, but it's not going to happen.
I have a piece of that wall.
So do I. Thank you for mentioning that. I was on a tour back in 1962. I had a tour to go to East Berlin. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you had to be in a Class A uniform. You were escorted. And I had a chance to run to the wall, pick up a piece of it, and run back. The tour guide almost had a heart attack.
He said,
are you trying to get shot? What's the matter with you? I still have that little rock in the garage somewhere. But a piece of mortar, what it was.
Make sure you label it so it doesn't get thrown out.
I still got some old East Berlin stamps, some old Deutschmarks they had over there. It's still somewhere in the house, but now I have to dig it out.
I noticed yesterday you were wearing a Purple Heart.
Yes. It happened December 19th, 1969. It happened at about 7:25 in the evening. Our compound got hit with rockets and mortars and RPGs, which is most of the time it happens. Even though we knew they were coming, it was so sad. One thing about I talk about Vietnam is we have what's called a starlight scope, and we knew at what time the enemy would be coming out of their holes and their bunkers or whatever. We saw them getting their weapons and stuff, but we had to call it into a brigade to get permission to fire, and we got fired on.
We had to call in to get permission to fire.
Oh, yes, that's true.
That's the sad part about being a soldier. You're being fired upon, but you need permission to fire back. Anyway, they hit our compound. Now, being with combat engineers, you know, engineers build stuff pretty sturdy. I could not believe what a mortar or a rocket could do to a bunker that's so well insulated, and you still get bounced off the walls. So, yes, sadly, the mortar or rocket that hit us in that bunker, the three of us were injured. I bounced off the wall, I got burns on my arm and side of my leg, bruises, of course. And I never forget that. December 19, 1969, at 7:25 around that time, that's when I got injured in the awarded the Purple Heart.
Did that send you home?
No. It was
they put a Band-Aid on it and said, go back?
They put a Band-Aid to go back to work.
Go back to work?
Yeah.
How about you, Butch?
Fortunately, I wasn't ever hit. Several close calls that when you see rounds go above your head and mortars landing just not too far from you and what have you, it's a little scary.
It does something to the psyche.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I know my dad got a Purple Heart on Iwo Jima.
Mm.
And I never knew what happened because he'd never told us what happened. He just told us, and I think I told you, when the flag went up, we watched the John Wayne movie,
right.
And at the end of the movie, they're putting the flag up, and my dad said, that's not what happened. He sat me down and said, this is what happened. And, you know, it was a completely different story. John Wayne had it all wrong, although he was very, very good at doing those movies. And then when my son watched the movie, it was like maybe seven, eight years old. He wanted to know if my dad still had the girlfriend, because he thought John Wayne was representing my dad. He wanted to know if my dad still had the girlfriend in the movie. And I'm like, no, Grandma would be upset. So that didn't happen. So what are your plans? It's Veterans Day. What are your plans for today?
Go find a good meal.
Go find a good meal. I think there's a lot of places. It's Veterans Day. They will, I think, Golden Corral.
Yes. Well, Golden Corral's one. IHOP, Denny's, also Billy's Inn, free
Texas Roadhouse.
Yep.
Texas Roadhouse?
Yep. And Olive Garden, Applebee's. There's a lot of them out there. I can't remember all of them.
But they'll give you a free meal?
Yep.
Yep. They're all veterans. Yes.
They're a veteran.
That's great. I mean, what the heck? Hey, we deserve it, man.
Absolutely. So what do you have to do to show that you're a veteran? Do you have to bring your DD-214 with you?
No.
The VA card.
Military ID.
Or military ID.
Okay. All right.
And also, in your driver's license, it says veteran, too.
Mine doesn't.
Oh.
My dad wouldn't let me join.
Yeah.
And, you know, I out of respect for my dad, I didn't, but I always regretted it because I just thought it would be something I wanted to do. So here I am trying to serve in a different capacity.
And you're doing a grand job. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. So tell people again, once again, we've got about 5 minutes left. Tell people again how they can get involved with NAMJAM and keep the legacy going.
just get a hold of us through our website or vva106@live.com. It's our email.
Oh, vva106
at live.com.
L-I-V-E?
Mm-hmm.
.com? Okay. That's new to me.
Or you'll find my phone number on the website. Get a hold of me if they want to call.
And I remember seeing the Nam Jam at Rialto Park.
Yes.
It's been around the country, my understanding.
It's been around the country?
The city.
Oh, okay. It's like
the county.
Around the county.
Oh, the county? Okay. Yeah. So where is it usually held, and what spot is normally the most successful? Would it be the park?
Reed Park was the most successful. But the city over the year has restricted certain things to us, and that's the reason we wound back out at Rialto, because it's fenced in and don't have to worry about paying for a fence being put up, and it's a lot cheaper. And the only thing it costs is bringing a stage.
Okay, why would you have to put a fence up? Because you serve
beer
alcohol?
Garden for the beer, okay. Beer and wine.
You can't leave this section.
No, you can't. And you had to put around the whole thing around the stage at Reed's Park so people can wander around. And with a fence around the whole area, we don't have to worry about the little bitty area to be fenced off, because people like to get their drink and go out and sit.
So Rialto Park is actually the better place to hold it?
Better place right now, unless the city changes its policy about being able to get up on the hill with fencing. One time they said they were going to look at putting the whole fence around that thing. And that's been 6 years ago.
We don't want to rush into anything.
That's right.
So, okay. So that actually would save them money to do it at Rialto.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the only place I ever saw it.
Yes. It's been there three times.
Okay. And you have bands come in?
Bands donate their time and come in.
And play music.
And play music.
People can dance?
Dance. Oh, yeah. Whatever they want to do.
And you'll have vendors there to...
Food vendors. Veterans organizations talk about their organizations. People who sell different things for military-type items come in and sell. We had 46 vendors this last time.
And does it cost to be a vendor?
Depending on what they are, if it's a military organization, it's $25. $50 if you're going to be selling items, and it's $100 for food vendors.
And that's it?
That's it. That's what it costs.
That's cheap.
That's cheap.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's a great way for other people to get their message out there, mm-hmm, to, you know, see a lot of people and market themselves or their products, whatever it takes.
That's what it takes.
So, and you, I noticed the other thing, and the only time I was there, they had all these military vehicles. Who's in charge of all those?
It falls under Mark Limmerman. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yes, that's his name, Limmerman.
He runs the military organization of motor transport type vehicles.
And he's in town?
Yes, he lives in town.
And does he have a website?
Not that I know of.
So it's just a private...
I think the organization has a website, but I don't remember what it is.
Okay. So you can actually get some of the... Because they restore these vehicles.
Right.
And it's pretty impressive.
They were in the parade, too.
Yeah, some of them. I got to ride in the Jeep.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Jeep took me back. I almost broke my neck getting in it, but...
Okay. That is one thing I'd like to put in right quick. The organizations over years has had a traveling museum. I've rebuilt that thing almost from scratch again. I'm looking for a home for those items. They're Vietnam items, they're Korean items, they're Desert Shield, Desert Storm items in it. There is a lot of history there that I'm looking for a home for all this.
So you're looking for a museum?
I'm looking for a museum that's willing to take this stuff and take care of it.
There's a museum in Harlingen, Texas. In fact, the prototype for the Iwo Jima Memorial is in Harlingen, Texas, at the military school there, the Marine Military Academy. They have a huge museum with all these all these items, then you might want to contact them.
I tried
them.
To get a hold of them, but haven't been able to.
Oh, really? I'll call.
One quick closing thought I'd like to say. I'd like to thank my wife, Sarah, for all the support she's given me and all the support from the Vietnam veterans that over the years have really kept me going. A memorandum of guys that we knew in the past, Jim Schilling, Bill Swartz, and many others that have passed away.
And the same for my wife.
Yes. And his wife, too, yes.
Okay, and yes, thank you to all the spouses out there for putting up with these people.
Exactly. All the keen support. I thank her.
Happy Veterans Day to everybody, and thank a vet. If you see a vet, thank a vet. Thank you.